Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Good morning and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Sean Hackett. Sean, how you doing today, bud?
Pretty good, Mr. Casey, pretty good.
Good deal, man. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. You got a lot of folks talking about a lot of different stuff. You know, one thing we don't talk about enough on here, and shame on me for not doing it, is cotton. And cotton is one of those, you know, very large cash crops in the United States. It's definitely one of those crops that actually define an entire area or entire region of the United States. And as time goes on here, because of various functions that we see happening in the commodity market, cotton has gotten actually a bigger foothold and bigger footprint. Especially in stripper cotton area, and the way it's going there. So talk about the cotton market a little bit and what you see happening there.
Well, I think we have to kind of remember is we had some really, really rough weather last year, late in the season, in India, in the U.S., even in China. And so the supplies came way down, but then we got caught in the trade war, and it kind of got put to the back burner. And then we got these planting intentions report. And everyone was expecting that we were going to plant more cotton acres because it had been a pretty profitable crop, and yet the USDA said that farmers are planting or expecting to plant less. And so this shot the cotton market up from the low 70s into the upper 70s, where we've been ever since, trying to convince farmers to go and plant cotton acres. The problem is, unfortunately, the rainfall in Texas and the Deep South, where all the cotton is primarily planted, it's been very problematic. And so the market is now wondering, even with this jack up in price relative to competing crops, you know, what is it going to look like? How much of these acres can actually get in the ground? How much won't get in the ground? And so, you know, we're looking at the two-week forecast here for Texas and for the Deep South, and it's just a lot of rainfall coming in, and it just does not look like it's going to be business as usual for getting the cotton planters out and getting the crop in the ground. So we still think this market's going to be well bid, at least into May, until the market can figure out how many acres and what condition those acres might be in. So the short term is pretty positive, I think. The problem we have longer term is this. Cotton is a very economically sensitive ag market, one of the few that are really, really an industrial ag market. And we see a lot of problems with the global economy. We see a lot of weakness going on in Europe and in Asia. The African swine fever, you know, is not good for the economy of China as prices take off there. And so everything we see says, you know, that economic activity is going to continue to be under pressure, and that should keep demand, end-user demand for cotton, under some pressure. The only other thing that we're looking at is this, as crude oils are rationing higher, all this Middle East stuff, Iran, sanctions and you know, production from Venezuela being down, but we know that cotton, on top of being an economically sensitive market, it's also competes with synthetic fiber like polyester for use in clothing. And so as oil prices go up, it ratchets up the price of polyester and other synthetic fibers, and so that makes cotton more competitive. So it's a very complicated story right now, but I would say in aggregate, we think that the near-term planting situation is bullish for cotton prices. We think once we get over that, the net result is that cotton demand is going to be weaker later in the year. We think that's going to be the overriding theme unless we get some serious growing condition problems this summer. So right now, I would say we're short-term friendly, but we're looking for a selling opportunity.
Okay. So it seems to me when the folks I talk with and the guys that I know down in the Deep South, it's more wet down there than it is anywhere else. Especially take a look at like Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, all across there, you know, Louisiana, all those stuff all the way across there. So that's got to have a huge effect, like we talked about in the past, that the rice situation has got to be starting to get a little bit critical when you start looking at the planting situation that's going on there.
Well, if we look at the rice planting intentions, we are way behind. But it's kind of one of those things, we're way behind, but we can catch up.
Right, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
It's one of those things, like, yep. We haven't quite crossed the Rubicon yet, but mm-hmm. we can't still make it up.
Right.
But if we go 2 more weeks, we can't make it up. I mean, that we're at that moment, like you just said, where
right.
either it is or it isn't, and it looks like to us it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the rainfall is just blowing up down there, and so we think we're going to get some serious problems for cotton and rice planting, where we're not going to be able to recover even if it dries out later in May.
Because that's the and that's a prediction too. And you follow the weather, and you're pretty in depth into weather and those kind of things. And with this being in a more of a mild El Nino effect, we're looking at a very, I don't say very, but a cooler, wetter summer than what we've seen in the past. Which even that's going to have an effect on the growing season, because you need heat units and all that kind of stuff to really get that stuff going and really get the bushels out of it. So, like you said, even if in a couple of weeks, we can't get things going and things aren't right where they need to be at, what effect in the market will rice have if it becomes that kind of the commodity that didn't make its way to the field? What happens to the, how is that going to affect the overall commodity markets?
Well, I mean, we know speculators are herd. You know, they run in herds. They run short, they run long, but they kind of run together. And right now they're all happy. You know, they're short, they're bearish. Rain makes rain. I hear this every single day. But if the rice market and, let's say, the cotton market were to get into trouble and cause some significant spike trades higher, blow some of these shorts out and make them lose a lot of money, it's very likely that some of these excessive short positions in corn, soybeans, and wheat, they would follow some of the buying and start covering some of their short positions, because they might say, wait a minute, you know, maybe this is a year where rain doesn't make rain, or maybe this is so excessive that maybe we overplay the short position here. So we feel that it would be a contagion effect where rice and cotton could convince some of these speculators to start buying. And once they start buying, it makes other shorts start buying. And all of a sudden, you have a huge short covering rally. And given how large they are, you know, the rally could be quite substantial without really any change in the fundamentals that we already know. It would just be the match, you know, the trigger that would set the thing off. So we think that would be something to get them off this bearish match that they've been on here for quite a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it's just a crazy market right now. There's a lot of different stuff going on that when it comes to the weather, where it comes to, you know, field conditions, when it comes to all these different things, there's so much stuff that is playing into it. So it's a bigger deal than what I think, like I said, planter technology right now, you can put a lot of equipment out there right now and you can do a lot of amazing things. You know, we've got planters out there running right now that can do 100 to 120 acres an hour. You know what I mean? So that's out here in our neck of the woods, that's one circle. You know, 120 acres, that's one circle an hour. This guy's got 40 or 50 circles. It takes him a week, you know, to go out and plant that stuff. And if he's running 24/7, yep. Quite frankly, he's done in 2 days. You know what I mean? So it's amazing what they can get done. But the weather has to cooperate. And where I'm at right now, the weather is cooperating. You know, and even if it does rain out here, just because soil conditions and the way they are, it's real sandy, it doesn't last. You know, you can get back in the field in a day. You know, it's not a big deal. So, but flip that over to Kansas or Missouri or eastern Nebraska and Iowa, and so where there's more, where it's the clay and stuff that starts playing into that and thicker soils and those kind of things, it takes longer to dry out, and that's what we're seeing happen right now.
I also think that, you know, we have this unprecedented weather situation. I mean, unprecedented moisture, unprecedented, we have never really seen anything like it. And then we have this unprecedented African swine fever that everyone is trying to get their hands around because it's so enormous. And I think you have these two massive fundamental factors that I almost think people don't know what to do about these two things. Like, they're so unusual, they're so large, that it's hard for the mind to actually grasp what they mean. And so because of that, they basically just disregard it. as being nothing, because they really can't accept what, you know, how significant they may be until it hits them straight across the face with a 2x4. Then they'll wake up to it. I would feel like that's what the markets are at. They're almost like they just can't process what's going on right now.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of stuff happening, man. I mean, whether it's trade or weather or, you know, disease or whatever it is, there's a ton of stuff going on in the market right now. A lot more stuff that's been going on here in the last 18 months than there has been in the last 36 months when you start looking at I mean,
absolutely.
At least to this point, you could track back to why commodity prices are doing what they're doing. It's just a supply and demand issue. Now, it's a supply and demand issue with a possibility of weather issue, with a possibility of how, you know, the swine fever is going to affect the marketplace, how, you know, all these different things are just trading. I mean, just so many things just coming at it a million times. It's just, and it's not any one of them are any more important than the other one. They're all important, and that's the kind of the overarching theme here, that you can't take one away because you're still going to have a big effect, even if you took just one away.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the market is just kind of paralyzed at the moment because it's just not sure how to process all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, through time, we'll get clarity on it. But right now, it's just going, you know what? I don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I sell.
Right.
You know, that's
exactly.
Kind of like, you know, human nature. Yeah. I don't know what to do, I'm going to sell.
Right.
And so that's the idea that I'm selling because they don't know what to do. But that actually may be the fuel. If they've got that wrong, and we think they've overplayed that, and if they have, you know, then there's some optimism to come as depressed as this current state of affairs happens to be at the moment, you know.
Yep. All right, so let's jump over to another hot topic out there. I think that we have a lot of traction on, and a lot of people are really starting to pay attention to. Price of oil. Price of oil is going up. We're starting to see it. The price of the pump's getting higher every day. I think I'm out here. We're close to that. I think it was $2.90 the other day when I got gas the other day. So now the flip side of that is how the ethanol are affecting that. I think ethanol right now is about $1.83 or something like that. I think last time I looked. So when you compare the two things, you got about a dollar difference between you know, gasoline and ethanol. But RINs are starting to play a big part into that, and there's getting the EPA and how they've reallotted those out really has some people fired up about what's going on. So talk about that marketplace and the dynamics you see between those two commodities.
I mean, look, government's always involved with these kind of things, but at the end of the day, it still comes down to dollars and what makes business sense. You know, when oil prices are too low, it doesn't make business sense to use any more ethanol than you absolutely positively have to.
Mm-hmm.
When crude oil prices, and especially right now, gasoline prices have really been taken off ahead of the summer driving season, and you get this widespread, it starts to make more sense to use more ethanol, given the current cheap price, than not. And so these spreads can they don't have to immediately kick in, but they always do kick in, and we don't think that spread can get any wider without having either crude oil come back down, which we don't see happening right now,
right,
or the ethanol price starting to move higher. And with the current corn price being as low as it is on a cash price basis, you get, you know, a 10% move up in ethanol prices, which really wouldn't be a stretch. You know, all of a sudden the margins are there, and you start firing up those plants that have been idle here for a little while. So it is a positive thing. And we do think it's probably, we've seen the worst of the ethanol demand destruction phase that the markets are worried about. We're probably moving into a friendlier phase as we move forward. Because like I said, we really don't see that spread getting any wider without something beginning to improve for the ethanol producer. So
yeah, there. Do you feel like that's the biggest? The ethanol market right now is because of the way the price of oil is. Does the ethanol market have the biggest effect on the corn market? I mean, is that where the biggest upside in corn is going to, immediate upside in corn is going to come from?
I think that it probably is, and the reason I say that is because it's immediate local demand.
Right.
I mean, you got ethanol plants on the road, and he needs a bunch of corn. He bids up, it narrows the basis, he wants it yesterday, deliver it. I mean, it's an immediate demand source, local, ship it, you know, it has the most immediate impact, especially with the basis, the cash basis levels that we might see. You could see the futures market maybe stay flat, but they goose up a local cash basis, and the farmer says, wow, I'm 10, 20 cents higher than I was 2 weeks ago because we're bidding up corn because the ethanol plant's operating again. So that would really, really, really help the cash market in corn immediately if we could get that demand fired up. And they've tended to be aggressive buyers in the past when they really wanted to buy corn. It's, you know, a livestock producer, he usually is on an overall plan. He buys over time. You know, he has a long-term accumulation program. They rarely come in and swoosh and buy him aggressively like ethanol producers have typically done in the past. So, yeah, if we could really get that fired up again, that would be a really improved and immediate help to the cash market and to the farmer. You know, whether or not we're standing, but I think that would really be a shot in the arm that would be very easy for the market to do, and it would override some of these other factors. I mean, it won't matter what's going on with African swine fever. It wouldn't matter what's going on with the U.S. dollar because it's local demand for local products.
Right.
You know?
Yep. So that would be the local demand would be driving the immediate person. So if you were in an area where there's an ethanol plant, you're going to see that moreover than a guy that doesn't have the ethanol plant that now from.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That would be a have and have not sort of situation.
Okay.
Correct. If you're in a very ethanol centric area, you know, you're going to see some very exciting cash bids. If you're not, you know, you'll certainly be left behind a little bit. Not that it would, you know, you wouldn't get some increase in the futures market on improved demand overall and maybe bringing those ending stocks down, but you wouldn't have the most immediate impact to your cash price like the guy that's in a ethanol centric area, without a doubt. I mean, it would there'd be areas that would really benefit, other areas not as much.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Sean, well, plenty of stuff going on, plenty of reason to have someone reach out to you and ask you some questions or maybe point them in the right direction. So if they wanted to do that, how would they do it, Sean?
Our website is Hackett, H-A-C-K-E-T-T, advisors.com. We have all kinds of interviews we've done on African swine fever, on grand solar cycle, on sample reports that they can look at and see if some of the things that we do and some of the work that we come up with might help them with what they do in their business. So that's a great place to start to see if what we do makes sense to them.
Right on. All right, Sean. Well, thanks for being on the podcast, and make sure you guys check out globalagnetwork.com where you can go and take up all the different shows you have. You can log in, set up an account, and you can pick the content you want to have sent directly to your inbox. So check that out whenever you got a minute. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Sean, thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Casey. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at movingironpodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Nellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit movingironllc.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and globalagnetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour, out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hard-working people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here. Moving